The Writer Files, a member of the Podglomerate Network.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
This week's show is sponsored by Neuro. Neuro makes functional gum and mints that help you better your mind and do more. The great thing is these patented cold-compressed gum and mints are gluten-free, sugar-free, vegan, and work a lot faster than drinks and supplements. They're loved by Olympians, engineers, academics, fitness peeps, and creatives like you and me stuck at home staring at the screen. The energy and focus products have been shown to improve brain performance in a pilot study out of the Harvard Innovation Labs. And the new Calm and Clarity line uses ingredients scientifically shown to reduce stress and stabilize mood. I honestly dig them because they take the stress out of having to brew or find that cup of coffee during the time in the day we could all use a boost. Head over to getneuro.com to order and better your state of mind now. That's GETNEURO.com. Getneuro.com. Use the code WRITER to get 15% off your first order today.
It reflects this idea that maybe, especially during the past year, you know, during the pandemic, maybe communication hasn't been so easy. And we've been trying to connect and we've been reaching out and we struggle to be heard and felt and seen. And I think a lot of us have found ourselves in that exact state. And so the body of work that I've been creating is all about this attempt to communicate.
Greetings, scribes, and welcome back to The Writer Files. This is a special edition of the show meant to add a splash of color and perhaps a ray of hope to an otherwise dark and tragic week in America. I recently had the opportunity to speak with Brooklyn-based designer, artist, and creative director Jason Naylor about his mission to inspire hope, how to write bite-sized wisdom for an attention-starved world, and why love is the answer to everything. As a designer, Jason has won 2 Clio Bronze Medals and a Golden Novum Design Award, but it's his Live Life Colorfully credo, an independent artwork that have found him fame. Jason's popularity has grown during the pandemic through his inspiring and intensely colorful murals. Jason's worked around the world to brighten communities through his public art installations, and his first book is Live Life Colorfully, 99 Ideas to Add Joy, Positivity, and Creativity to Your Life. A quirky, illustrated mix of inspiring words, tips, tricks, and challenges. You may recognize his distinctive style from his collaborations with brands, including Coach, Guess, Pepsi, Maybelline, MAC Cosmetics, and many more. In this file, Jason and I discussed how to create an instantly recognizable and inspiring brand, why a splash of color and surprise is what we all could use right now. His vivid tribute to the essential workers of Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, why repetition is the key to creativity, and more. Stay calm and write on. And if you're a fan of The Writer Files, please click subscribe to automatically see new interviews as soon as they're published, and leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts to help other writers find us. Greetings and welcome back to The Writer Files, and I am honored today to be joined by a special guest. I've got the award-winning artist, designer, author, Jason Naylor. What's going on, man?
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I mean, all things considered, I am fabulous.
Okay, good to hear that. But I can't wait to dig into kind of your process as an artist, designer, writer, and all around colorful personality. But yeah, I gotta look at your fantastic studio there for a split second. It's a gorgeous spot. You're in Brooklyn?
Brooklyn, yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about kind of how you got to be an author, and then just kind of roll back the clock a little bit for us. Give us your superhero origin story. And talk about this fantastic career you've had as an artist.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny that I landed here with a book. I am an artist and a designer, and now I am still coming to terms with calling myself an author. But I, you know, first and foremost, am a very visual person, and I've always been interested in painting and drawing and doing something visually creative. Somewhere in the arts, I went to school for graphic design, and after graduating from Brigham Young University, I moved to New York, and I began working as a graphic designer. And I did that for about 6 years. I worked in-house for a makeup brand called MAC, and I was doing a lot of design work, art direction, creative direction. You know, you grow up from being a graphic designer and you kind of become an art director, and it's more of like a creative manager. You're doing less designing and more kind of managing. And I think one of the things, and the reason I bring this up, I think one of the things from that job that I learned was how to work with copywriters. And I see that now, you know, looking back, I see how much that helped me to actually create this book. So at the time, you know, I was working with copywriters and illustrators and artists, and I was kind of a creative manager, art director. And I began to feel this itch to go out on my own and do my own thing. And I wanted to put my name at the bottom of my work, you know, so to speak. And so I quit my job and I dove into the world of freelance design and art. And that was about 10 years ago. So I've been a full-time artist since then. And of course, my career has gone up and down and in every direction that I didn't plan on it going.
Sure.
You know, as it does. Right. But one of the things that I began to really enjoy was to paint murals. So, you know, several years ago, I started painting more and more murals, and each mural leads to another one. And finally, I landed this mural gig in Manhattan. I was going to paint this wall. I painted this wall on 16th Street and 6th Avenue in Chelsea in Manhattan. So if you live in New York, you know that Chelsea is very prime real estate.
Oh yeah.
So I painted this mural. The mural said "Live Life Colorfully." And it was a super colorful design. It was a great location, and it was a good message for that neighborhood especially. I began to get more and more work through that mural, and then one of the people who passed by the murals, that mural, is now my literary agent. And she,
cool,
at the time reached out and said, "Hey, have you ever considered doing a book? I saw your mural. I love your work." And I was like, "I have not considered a book, but I mean, what the hell? Why not? Let's talk about it." And that's kind of how this all began.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of like your credo, but it earned you, yeah, kind of access to a whole different world. But yeah, I can see that in your work, kind of the, you know, it's, as it's been put, it's instantly recognizable. It really pops. And this book is just gorgeous. And thank you for sharing an autographed copy with me. I'm honored
well,
to be
you.
Holding
Thanks
it now.
Compliment.
Yeah, it's really cool though. But it is kind of one of those books, and it's kind of been put in that category of like, it's part, you know, coffee table book, but also has this great message, and you know, it's a self-help kind of motivational guide as well. But as you put it, you can kind of open to any page. So the book itself is Live Life Colorfully, 99 Ideas to Add Joy, Positivity, and Creativity to Your Life. And who doesn't need a little bit of that right now?
Yeah, I mean, if there was ever a time for it, I think it is right now.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I'll pop it open, and then it's like, all right, there are obviously 99 ideas all neatly organized here, but then you can just pop open to, what was I enjoying? I had it dog-eared. Oh, number 48, dry erase graffiti. Things you can use dry erase on. Who doesn't have some dry erase markers on? Mirrors, picture glass, refrigerator, windows, bathtub, drinking glasses, all these cool things that you can kind of hit with some tag up with some graffiti, right? But so talk a little bit more about putting the book together and that process, going from artist and designer, and obviously having had, you know, quite a bit of access to copywriting, which is a little bit different, but obviously, you know, going into this, putting it together, what was that process like for you?
Well, the process, I think, is kind of the inverse to what writers normally do, because I create the artwork first, and obviously there's an idea behind each piece of artwork. So whether it's a mural or a page in my book or a sketch or whatever, like, you know, it starts with what am I trying to communicate here? And that's the designer in me. It's not just like, what do I want to draw? I pick up my sketchbook and like, oh, let's draw a cow or a sky or whatever. It comes from this sort of design education that I have, which drives me to say, what am I trying to communicate here? And so I'll kind of start with that. And generally for me, it's a simple message, and it fits within the theme that I like to work in, which is the ideas of love, positivity, kindness, you know, motivation, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'll start with an idea that I want to communicate. Let's say it's like spread love. And then from there, I begin to sketch and draw. And I love using typography and letters and words. And so generally I start there. And then, you know, I'll start to sketch out, what is this type design going to look like? And then if there's another element, for example, like in the dry erase graffiti page, which you brought up, which also happens to be one of my favorite pages in the book. So, you know, the idea for that, like, what am I trying to communicate? I'm trying to communicate that you can use your dry erase markers around the house in different ways to put messages, you know, to put these love messages or whatever they are, you know, for your family, for your girlfriend, or for whoever. And you can do it all over the house using dry erase markers. So then in order for me to communicate that idea, what I thought was best was to draw the picture of the toilet, because of all things porcelain in your home, obviously it's the toilet. And the idea for this came from my personal life, because my girlfriend and I, we have dry erase markers laying around, and she has excellent handwriting. And over the years, I kept writing messages on the toilet, like on the toilet seat. And it wasn't gross. It, you know, it would be like, have a great day or something, but it started out like on the mirror, and then it was on the, we lived in this loft, and the bathroom was like a dive bar. So we would write all over the walls and everything. So then it was on the walls, and then it was on the toilet. And it kind of became this thing where then throughout the years, we would leave the messages on the toilet. And so that was sort of the idea. And when I went to create this design, the design was, use your dry erase marker, write on things that you wouldn't expect, like a toilet, and use that process to send some love. And so, of course, back to your question about the process. The process for me is to create all these images, visuals, and then I write, you know, what I consider to be like a caption. And I think that goes back to my days of managing copywriting a little bit, because copywriting is sort of like caption writing. And what I'm really writing about is just the picture itself.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Well, it really does. It is very effective, and it definitely breathes kind of, you know, some relief to this somewhat dark time. And, you know, we're kind of seeing some light at the end of the tunnel, which is nice. But I think messages like these are important at any time, obviously more important now than ever. You know, I like how you put it, that if, you know, if someone did see one of your murals in real life, as opposed to kind of in a digital format, you know, if you're worrying about your rent or loved ones or whatever it may be, just seeing something colorful kind of erases that, right? And that's part of your credo, is that it has kind of almost like a neurobiological effect. And, you know, I just caught myself popping it open and of course smiling, kind of ear to ear, like, this is just so much fun. But it also has a powerful, almost like an antioxidant for your brain or something. I don't
totally.
Know.
No, totally. Yeah. I mean, I was going to say that I really love this idea of joy, and joy has become kind of a trendy word, you know, like this whole spark joy thing. But what I love about joy is this element of surprise that seems to be attached to it. And that's what I love about creating bright, colorful work, and especially large scale work, like a large scale mural that's filled with color, really does have the power to surprise you when you're walking down the street. And, you know, of course, you know, New York is a very gray and brown city, you know, it's like dirty, and it's, and it, so to see something that's like fluorescent and bright and neon and colorful, it really does grab you. And I love having the control of that. You know, I love that I can actually design this experience for somebody who's walking down the streets of New York. And my hope is just that. My hope is that as somebody is walking down the street, they're probably walking really quickly. You know, they're late like every other New Yorker, and their life is so busy and important and whatever it is, and it's filled with stress. And for 1 second, they actually forget all of that because they become distracted by this, you know, bright color right in their face. And for a second, they're like, oh my, wow, oh my God, or whatever they feel, you know. And hopefully what they feel is joy or happiness or a smile or whatever, as opposed to like vandals or graffiti or, you know, whatever negative things murals can also spark. Hopefully they feel some joy. But I really like that I can participate in that.
For sure. I love that. I think one of your quotes said, or one of the captions of the book was "Taste the Rainbow," which of course conjures that hilarious Skittles ad campaign. But that's exactly it, right? You kind of taste the rainbow, and of course you did this fantastic tribute to essential workers, right?
Yep.
At Sloan Kettering and a couple other places. Talk a little bit about that and kind of the work behind that.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of the rainbow, I mean, rainbows are so ubiquitous in so many, you know, so many applications. And the rainbow started to become this symbol during the pandemic because the kids were putting the rainbows in the windows, and this hashtag rainbow connection was starting to grow in popularity. And I don't know where the rainbow started as it relates to the pandemic, but it started to become a thing in Brooklyn. And people would put, I think generally it was people who had kids, and the kids would paint pictures draw pictures of rainbows, put them in their windows. And then it's at 7 o'clock or what, I think it was 7 o'clock. People would come out and clap. And it was like a thank you to the essential workers. And the kids would be out like banging on pots and pans. And I only knew about this actually because of my niece. And, you know, my sister sent me little videos of my niece like clapping, and they didn't even know, you know, she's two, like she didn't know what was happening, but she did know that like there was this energy and this thing that was happening with the rainbows and with the 7 o'clock and with the essential workers. So I was invited to come paint a mural on the facade of the Atlantic Center Terminal, which is right across the street from Barclays Center. For those of you who don't know what or where that is, it's in downtown Brooklyn, and it's a very very heavy traffic location where a lot of subway lines meet and a lot of streets meet right there too. So it's a great location, and I was invited to come paint a mural about the essential workers, like something that would pay tribute and honor the essential workforce. And so at the time this rainbow thing was happening, I of course used a lot of color in my work, and I wanted to create a message and a design that would acknowledge the essential workforce, that would sort of send a message more than just thank you. And then I also wanted to incorporate this rainbow thing. So the mural ended up being the word hope, and it's in a very rainbow driven design. And then I put a little tribute on the wall as well that says thank you to the essential workforce, something to that effect. But the concept for the mural was that, you know, hope can be such a powerful thing. Hope has many different meanings for different people. But right now, as a group, as a culture, we are experiencing this hope together. And so we're going to use that to move forward. And that was sort of the point of the mural. And it was great. I mean, it's still there. It's still super colorful and seems to have performed really well. Like I get a lot of reposts on social media and all that, which is great, of course, you know, but I hope that there were essential workers. I hope there were nurses. I hope there were people who were working in restaurants or, you know, grocery stores. I hope they walked by it or drove by it at some point and saw it and felt like it was for them, because it was.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty important and needed right now. And of course, I will put a link to your fantastic Instagram feed there, which is a lot of, I mean, I could spend all day poking around there and enjoying
that. Nice, thanks.
And talk a little bit about, before we go back to the book, talk about this collaboration you did with, it looks like a hotel where you designed this amazing room, right?
Yeah.
So, that's crazy.
Oh, it's so crazy. I mean, it was sort of a fluke project that landed in my lap. And there's a concierge service that had dreamed up this idea of customizing hotel rooms, maybe collaborating with artists or something. And the idea was to drive business to the hotels, which are obviously, you know, struggling. But the idea was to drive maybe locals to go check out the hotels, since people aren't traveling as much. Yeah. And so then we got on the phone, started to talk about, you know, what could I do? And I've done a lot of kind of mural, large scale work in the event business. And a lot of it is basically just creating large scale work that's temporary. And so we talked about that, and it evolved into this idea of taking over a hotel room. And so the hotel was super stoked about it as well. They gave me a hotel suite. It's on the top floor of the Affinia Hotel.
Wow.
On the Upper East Side. And I basically just like gutted the entire suite and painted, and there's a new carpet, and I brought in furniture, and it's hard to describe, but it's basically just like a room filled with like neon lights, colors, and positive messages. And I gotta say, it's like one of my favorite things I've ever done. It's it's pretty spectacular, and I'm super proud of it. But it was this ongoing, like day after day after day.
Oh my God.
And I just kept going at it, because I had this complete creative freedom. I could just do whatever I wanted in this hotel suite. And it's a great suite. It has terraces and everything, and it's just filled with color.
Yeah, what a great canvas. I bet it's booked out for months. What do you think?
I mean, I hope so. I hope that it just barely opened actually last week. And I'm hoping that it starts to get some traction. It's had a few people stay, and I would love for a big Instagram influence kind of person, like maybe a makeup person, to go. And I even left a ring light in there, like, so people can do all the selfies. You know, I think it'd be cool if somebody went in there and like did some photo shoots with like really bright colored makeup. And I have these neon lights in there, which I think would be super cool, you know, as a backdrop for like a bright makeup. So I'm hoping that kind of stuff happens, but we're not quite there yet.
Yeah. Go check that out on the Instagram. I will link to that obviously, but,
cool.
Yeah, so coming back to this fantastic book, Live Life Colorfully, 99 Ideas to Add Joy, Positivity, and Creativity to Your Life. You know, and Austin Kleon's been on this show a couple times, and you know, he describes himself as a writer who draws, which I thought was interesting, because then I thought of your work, and I thought, do you consider yourself now an artist who writes?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, like I said earlier, I'm like coming to terms with the idea of calling myself author or writer, but I think that's a good way to put it. I like that. And I love him, by the way. I love his books.
Yeah. His work is fantastic, but it is kind of like, you know, your book is similarly like one of those books that you can just pop up into any page and then grab some inspiration. And, you know, it's very non-traditional, which I love, you know, and it's bite-sized wisdom, which I think are some of my favorite books out there.
Yeah. And I like that stuff too. It's a great way to say it, bite-sized, because I think we're in this world of immediacy. You know, everything is so like at our fingertips, and I don't mind that at all. I think it's great. And I enjoy stuff that is quick and brief and, you know, like pithy and to the point. And so I tried to craft the book in a way that one could just open to any page and walk away literally 3 seconds later with hopefully a little smile on their face. I'm glad that it's doing that for you. I think that that's the kind of stuff that everyone is used to now. And so hopefully it works.
Yeah, because we're living in such an attention starved time, as you put it. It's kind of like, if you don't have a social media influencer, which, you know, I mean, obviously there's a difference between artists like yourself who, you know, just do such amazing and inspiring work that it's hard not to notice it, right? Like it's like that credo, be so good they can't ignore you.
Yes.
As opposed to just being suddenly a social media influencer who, you know, who knows why they're famous. I don't know why half these people have 3.8 million followers. And I look at their stuff and I'm like, what's inspiring about this? What's really motivating these
people? It's a strange world.
It's so weird. But kudos on the work. I am a big fan, and I'm going to share it, of course, widely. But yeah, talk about kind of what's next for you, because it seems like you got a lot going on. You're obviously, you know, you've collaborated with a lot of brands, organizations, you're doing a lot of stuff. You got your fingers in a lot of different pies, but, you know, you've also done philanthropic stuff and yeah, kind of what's inspiring you, motivating you? What are you looking forward to in the future?
Well, I mean, you kind of touched on brands and commercial work. And because I come from the design business, I do a lot of commercial work, and a lot of, most of my work does have a client attached to it or a cause. I do like working with causes and charities, and I love when I can use what I'm doing to help other people, you know, to do something that's more than just pretty pictures. And so I love that stuff too. But the one area where I have not focused nearly as much is the world of fine art. And so what's next for me, especially in the coming months, I have a solo show, which will be my first, and it's coming up in March.
Awesome.
Details to come, but I've been working on it for about a year, and it's basically, I've taken this body of work that I've been doing these messages, and a lot of my large scale murals are very message driven. So the idea behind my fine art that I've been working on is more about the communication and the struggle with communication, and rather than spelling out the message or just painting out the message onto the side of the street or something, I've decided to sort of crop in make the messages a little bit more abstract, and so that it reflects this idea that maybe, especially during the past year, you know, during the pandemic, maybe communication hasn't been so easy, and we've been trying to connect, and we've been reaching out, and we struggle to be heard and felt and seen. And I think a lot of us have found ourselves in that exact state. And so the body of work that I've been creating is all about this attempt to communicate. And visually what that looks like is the paintings are very abstract. You can't read them, but they have this quality that sort of makes you feel like they're letter forms. Like you don't know if it's a word or if it's a letter, but it kind of looks like pieces of a word, and the idea is to drive you to think, like, what does it say? And it doesn't say anything really, but my goal is to provoke that imagination rather than just spelling it all out like I've been doing. So that's kind of where my artwork is going. And in terms of the world of fine art, it's a bit of a gamble because I don't have tons of, I don't have a gallery rep or anything like that. So I don't know exactly how this is going to be received, but it's a new land for me to go travel through.
That's awesome. And it sounds really exciting and a little scary, but that's good, right? And the world needs more color. So I don't think there will be a lack of, you know, desire to check that out, but I definitely want to. I want to live in that room at the...
At the Affinia. Yeah, it's Affinia. Called the 50 Affinia.
Okay.
Yeah, AFF. And I can send you the info about that.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. We'll link to whatever you got. Well, we will kind of wrap up with, before we wrap up with your kind of advice to fellow scribes and artists out there, do you have some artists that have stuck with you over the years that are some of your, you know, kind of your favorites, or just kind of artists that you go back to, or, you know, be it street art or other, that kind of, I don't know, just, do the same thing that you're trying to do for others?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have an artist or a list of artists that have always been there. I feel like I'm changing that mood board changes every, you know, couple months or year or whatever,
right.
But, I should give a shout to Tristan Eaton, who is a graffiti artist, muralist. I met him years ago, maybe 10 years ago, and I knew that he was out painting and doing murals. And I was so fascinated by his ability to use a spray can. You know, his craft and his technique with the spray can is so impressive to me. And I, later in life, I picked up a spray can and started teaching myself how to use it. And I feel like to this day, I still feel so inspired by his abilities with the spray can. So I want to shout him out just because I think he's so impressive with the work that he does. His work is nothing like my work. So if you see it, you won't mm-hmm. see any correlation other than I'm so inspired by his ability to actually create the work that he creates. I grew up on the Beatles music, and I'm gonna call this out because I'm not necessarily inspired by Peter Max. Peter Max is the artist who did a lot of the work for the Beatles. And I don't really look at Peter Max's work, and I don't necessarily see it as an inspiration of mine, but people often see my work and bring up Peter Max. And so, but I've sort of thought this through. Like I listened to the Beatles so much from the age of, 10 or 11 on. My parents love the Beatles, and the Beatles have always been a big part of my life. And so I've sort of decided that subconsciously, I think there's something in the Beatles and their messages and their lyrics that have driven me in my work. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to cite them as an inspiration too.
Yes. Well, we will wrap up here with one more shout out for this really, really inspiring book. Live Life Colorfully, 99 Ideas to Add Joy, Positivity, and Creativity to Your Life. A quirky, illustrated mix of inspiring words, tips, tricks and challenges from award-winning artist, designer, and creative director Jason Naylor. Yeah, let's find that silver lining. I love it. So do you have one last piece of wisdom for your fellow creators out there on just how to keep going during this dark time? But again, the tides are turning, it seems. And what do you got for us?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple of things. I think my biggest message is about spreading love, and I think that love is the answer to everything. So I'm gonna throw that out there as one of my words of wisdom. I would say, love yourself and love everyone else. And the other thing that I want to leave everyone with is, this is a tough time. It's tough to feel creative. It's tough to feel like you can wake up every day and keep doing it, and we all feel it. But I would say that the more that you can force yourself to do, the more you'll be able to do. The more you create, the more creative you'll feel. The more that you are able to look yourself in the mirror and say you got this, the more you actually will be able to do it. And so I think repetition is the piece of advice. Like, just keep doing it, keep going, keep powering through, keep drawing, keep writing. And things are going to work themselves out. Just keep at it.
I love it. Perfect way to wrap up here. Jason, thanks so much. I've got you there. Your home page is, your home base is jasonnaylor.nyc. Of course, yes. You are on Instagram. I will link to that at Jason Naylor. Is there anywhere else you want to point listeners and fans?
That's it. There's a little bit about the book on my website, so I would love if people would check that out. I've made a video of the creation of a mural that matches the book cover.
Oh yeah.
So go to my website, jasonnaylor.nyc, and check that out.
I love that, man. Thanks so much for spreading the rainbow and the color and the hope. We really appreciate your time, and come back again sometime.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of The Writer Files. And if you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating or a review to help other writers out there find us. You can always leave a comment or a question and visit the entire archives at writerfiles.fm. And you can chat with me on Twitter at Kelton Reed. Cheers. Talk to you next week.